Welcome back for part two of our informational interview with Alonzo Segura.
So I think it's been very helpful. Although I've never, sat down and written a line of code during my work in the Air Force, I think the ability to be able to understand how software development happens, what goes into it, the level of difficulty related to any one particular project. And then above and beyond that, having a basic understanding of physics allowed me to better understand the types of technology problems that I was going to encounter in the service. So I believe it really helped.
Absolutely. And so how did you walk us through, myself as well as our listeners, walk me through how did you go from, okay, you're contracted for three or four years to a multi-year career in the Air Force? What caused you to stay and why did you stay?
Well, so that's a great question. In my time, so I came to LA, to go to college.
Yeah.
And then I ended up really loving LA. Mm-hmm. And so I asked the Air Force, hey, what could you keep me here? I like LA.
Yeah.
And so absolutely. We're going to assign you to Los Angeles Air Force Base. And at the time, Los Angeles Air Force Base was concerned with the acquisition and procurement of space stuff.
Okay.
Today, that base is now the Los Angeles Space Force Base. I don't think people realize that it's here right next to LAX.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found that even though it was a transactional kind of thing in the beginning, I ended up really liking it. LA is, it turns out, a hub. Globally, for space industry, there's a phrase called the arsenal of democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And that arsenal runs through Pasadena, through El Segundo, down to Long Beach. And that base, I think, has been at the heart of a booming space economy. There's a lot of traditional space firms like your Lockheed Martins, your Northrop, your General Dynamics. But there's also an explosion of new and exciting companies in the region. At the epicenter of research, innovation, manufacturing, data analytics, launch, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of that is happening right here in the city. And so at the time, that got me excited and it kept me in the job.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that you're kind of talking about, and I feel like I struggle with, and I assume our listeners struggle with as well, is kind of that negotiation piece that you talked about of like, hey, I like Los Angeles. I want to stay here. How can we make this happen? Because a lot of times students kind of feel like, oh, I really need this job. I really want to stay with the Air Force, and I don't want to pressure them. I don't want to ruin my chances with them. I don't want to be overbearing. What kind of recommendations do you have either from that experience of asking, I want to stay in Los Angeles, or throughout your entire career? How do you kind of negotiate what your wants and desires are without souring the relationship per se?
Yeah, I don't think anybody is going to look at the military's talent management as a how-to.
Yeah.
I think they've got a ways to go. They're always trying to better manage their talent. But I think if I was going to speak to it globally in any position, if you're able to align your desires and hopes and dreams and the things you want to do with the needs of whomever's, signing your paycheck.
Yeah.
In a way that makes sense for them, it increases the likelihood that you're going to get exactly what you want. And I think maneuvering any personnel management system in a large bureaucracy such as the DoD or even just the Air Force, or even today, the Space Force is the smallest, and I think they're doing a much better job of fostering and creating and managing that talent. But it's all going to take some time and some know-how to understand the systems and the power brokers. But at the end, it comes back to what I said. You have to give some and align your needs with the needs of whatever that organization is and try to make a match.
Yeah, And I love that. And like I said, that is something that I probably personally struggle with. So I always love talking to professionals in your position of like, how do you get to where you're at, and what kind of processes do you have? So kind of moving into either what you're currently doing or kind of your lengthy career with the DoD and its many facets, what does your typical day look like in these kind of positions?
So that one's tough, right? Because it's been it was 20-year, almost 21-year career, and over that time, I did a lot. I moved around the country, had different assignments. I deployed a couple times. I went to I had an assignment at the Pentagon that I really enjoyed, and so maybe it's better, I think, for the listeners to say, well, what did you do in the military? In my particular code or designation was what they call an acquisition program manager. And so what exactly does that mean? It's the DoD at large maintains what's called an acquisition workforce. And this workforce is built of specialties. So you're going to have contracts officers, you're going to have finance officers, you're going to have people like me who did that program management. You're going to have engineering, you're going to have science, and all of these people have to come together.
Please join us for part three of our informational interview with Alonzo Segura.